Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. Today is our last day of the interview that we've been sharing with Katie McGrady from the Good News Cruise. Katie and I had a chance to sit down together earlier this year on the cruise and begin to study a little bit of the book of Ephesians together. And we've been sharing those conversations with you, which have been so rich, talking about our identity in Christ. So join us here today. This is our last section of that interview we have together.
Were you at the 3:30 Mass yesterday?
No.
Because you went to the OG one. I was late, and so I had to go to the Sinner's Mass late, don't you? But was anyone at that Mass, the 3:30 Mass? Yeah, and Father Ryan gave it. Does anyone remember one main point from Father Ryan's homily? They want to shout out? Sorry, you're like, I wasn't supposed to be tested here. does anyone remember?
Interactive radio.
Didn't know there was going to be a test.
Letting your light shine, whatever it is. Yeah, that's so good. Yeah. God doesn't create cool people. He just creates people. Yeah. And I think those two points are so good because it goes, but he was just saying how often we make ourselves small, mm-hmm. you know, and we're like, oh, I'm the worst, or like, and God's so great, I'm the worst. And God, I think in this is saying like, I don't know, for me, it just echoes like how valuable we are.
Without blemish.
Without blemish. And like how, like the worth that God has given us. Yeah. I don't know. Is there anything coming up
without doing anything, right? Like you're not earning that.
Yeah.
And there's not to-do lists that you have to follow to be able to win the favor. It's like, no, you're created that way, and you're chosen before the foundation of the world. Like, like in the first, I'll say this in talks to teenagers, like when God said, let there be light, he said that because he knew one day you'd flip on a light switch. Mm. Now, my daughter Claire's a little scared of the dark, so she has a little nightlight. And anytime I like, turn the lights off in a room and leave mm-hmm. after tucking her in, I'll see the little light, and I'll think about that. Like, mm-hmm. when he said, let there be light, he knew that one day there'd be a tiny human called Claire Bear who wants to make sure that the little dinosaur light is glowing in the corner of the room. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how intentional it was. Mm-hmm. And when you think of the vastness of creation, that you are an intentional thought of God, and in fact exist only because he's actively thinking of you right now. Yeah. And if he stopped thinking about you, you'd poof, disappear. So like, oh, he's thinking about me. The question then becomes, am I thinking about him, which can be very intimidating. Like, no, I'm not. Like, I'm just watching mm-hmm. The Office. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to pick something off the buffet. Like, no, I'm not. I'm just trying to sleep.
Right.
But what does Paul tell us? To pray without ceasing? Mm-hmm. He mentioned the prison thing. Maybe the only reason he could write with any sort of gumption or joy is because he's thinking of the one he knows is thinking of him. Mm. And, like, I think that it's a very easy thing to forget in a noisy world, in a world where we're constantly jockeying for position or like thinking the only value I bring is what I'm producing. How many people showed up on the boat? And there was like this weird, like, I got on with group one. And so there wasn't anything to do yet. We dropped our stuff off in our room. We're just kind of walking around. My husband is a classic relaxer. Like, he was made for cruise life. And I'm like, okay, so we have a meeting at 1:30, so we need to make sure we eat by this time. And then I'm going to unpack our clothes so that they're not wrinkled and I don't have to like borrow an iron. And he's like, we're on vacation. Like, we can just be.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Lord, before anything existed productively, mm-hmm. you were thought of, which means that this, I had to record part of my show for tomorrow morning, and the whole first segment was on leisure. Has anybody read Leisure, the Basis of Culture by mm-hmm. Joseph Pieper?
Yeah.
It's a required reading at the college I went to. Like, you graduate, and they're like, now, don't forget, take a vacation from time to time.
Yeah.
And the first thing that humans see God do after we're made mm-hmm. is rest. Mm-hmm. Like, he makes us, and then he goes, peace, I'm out, I'm taking a day off. Mm. So you in the image and likeness of God, the first thing that you see God do that I think in some ways we're called to image is resting.
Right.
Not just the nap, but resting in you're chosen.
Yes.
And you didn't have to do anything to earn that.
Yeah. That's so the resting in our identity, which is a constant, like,
it's a
okay,
fight.
We're resting here. I'm a classic terrible relaxer.
Yeah, you know, like workaholics and type A eldest daughters can't
what
relax.
Are we? The funny thing about me is I'm extremely type B.
Like, really?
I'm unbelievably disorganized, but I am not a good relaxer. So it's like bad combination. But that practice of just like that first thing of resting, and there's a wonderful little, it's like about this big, this tiny little book on Ephesians by a Chinese martyr named Watchman Nee. And he wrote it when he was actually in prison. Mm. He wrote a reflection on Ephesians while he was in prison, which is beautiful. And he breaks down This is so much of what you're saying, Katie. He breaks down Ephesians into three sections: sit, walk, stand. So the first section of sitting, being seated with Christ, we'll get to in 10 years when we get to chapter 2. We'll get to being seated with Christ in heavenly places, which Paul also talks about in Colossians. But this first section is about sitting down, sitting and resting in who you are in Christ. He says Christianity doesn't begin with a big do. It begins with a big done. You know, of what's already resting in what's already been done for you. And then walking worthy, what does it mean to walk in your identity of Christ? And then three, standing against the enemy. But I think so often as Catholics, especially, like, we want to move, we're like, yeah, seated with Christ in heavenly places. Okay, next, what can I do?
And what
now?
Are you going to do for me?
What can I do? You know, like, how can I work? How can I be productive? How can I white knuckle it? You know, like, what devotions now do I have to check off? What rosaries do I have to do? Which all of that is good, but there's an invitation of, like, we're sitting in chairs. What is the chair doing? This is such an obvious question. You guys can, this is not a test. What is the chair doing? It's doing what for you? It's holding you up. It's holding, if Katie and I moved these chairs, we would collapse onto the ground. And so that resting in the chosenness is your identity, is my identity, my chosenness, that I have been, what, blessed in Christ, chosen before the foundation of the world, destined in love, redeemed by his blood, forgiven of my sins, and adopted into God's family. As I walk through my day, is that actually what's holding me up? That if I'm actually not sitting in that, if I'm not leaning on that, then I actually, my whole identity crumbles, I fall over, you know? Yeah. And so that image of, like, are we sitting? Are we really sitting? How do we do that? To, like, physically just sit and rest? Like, this morning, as I was saying, I'm just sitting out watching, and I was reading this, and I was just like, and there were people around me who were probably like, what are you doing? Because I had my headphones in to have noise canceling. And I was just really, I've read this probably 100 times, and I was really just moved by that reality of sitting. I'm like, I'm sitting in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and I'm sitting in this chair, and I'm like, Lord, you chose me. You chose me. You want me. You desire me, you know? And I think for so many of us, we're just, even while we're here on the ship, we're darting to the next thing, you know? Like, it's so easy to do of what you're saying. And to just take that word from Katie of, how am I resting in my chosenness? That the Lord actually wants to speak that over you and actually give you an experiential, I'm not talking emotions, but an experiential reality of being chosen by him, of being cherished by him. And maybe you've experienced it at one point in the past and you're like, oh, I passed it. And maybe I think he wants to give it to you again in the power of the Holy Spirit, you know?
It is so hard to turn off the rest of the world, which doesn't, I mean, just think about the likes that you get on social media posts, or the comments that you have to fight back against, or the day-to-day grind with your job or with your responsibilities with your family. And very rare, I think, is it that we allow ourselves to consider, not to be morbid, but, like, at the end of our lives, those are not necessarily the things that are going to be lauded about us.
Right.
But what could be lauded, or hopefully will be announced, is they knew who they were, and what's that cheesy phrase? You know who you are and whose you are, right? And that, it's cheesy, but it's true.
That
is what is the foundation of my life. That's what, it's the foundation of, it's what we want to teach our kids. It's hopefully what other people notice about you first. I mean, there's a reason that Paul can be joyful, because he knows who he is.
Yeah, he's sparkly like George.
And is writing to a group of, the context of these letters is so important, to a group of Christians that are being persecuted.
Yeah.
They're babies at this. Like, they probably could not have even fathomed what was to come. I mentioned come and see, like the Lord's inviting. And Andrew and John, they do the most ridiculous thing. They, like, go. And this is a stranger to them, the Lamb of God. Okay, whatever that means. They're Jewish. So they would have understood that phrase. Yeah. And they just drop everything and go. And then remember what time it is. Like, 50 years later, when John is on the island writing his gospel, he remembers it was 4 p.m. when he first met Jesus, and he went. And then Andrew, and The Chosen portrays this beautifully, the show. Andrew goes and finds his brother Simon Peter and says, we found the Messiah. So an encounter and a willingness to go literally evangelizes the guy who becomes the first pope. And you have Leo the 14th today because of this brief 4 o'clock encounter in the desert. And so, like, you see the longevity, the vast continuity of that moment. if you're choosing to come and see with Jesus and rest in Christ, what's the vast continuity forward? This is going to sound controversial, but so everybody was watching the talk last night. I was watching the Bad Bunny show. For one reason only. I'm Puerto Rican, and so it was a celebration of Puerto Rican culture. I listened to it on mute. I did not listen to the lyrics, but I was watching the Puerto Rican, and it was a wedding. It was like a family, and all I could think of was my grandfather, who was Puerto Rican, and I have this appreciation for the Puerto Rican culture because of his life, and also I'm Catholic because he was Catholic, and then the same for my father's side of the family, and there's this vast, in my own life, of just people who chose to love Jesus and knew that they were chosen by the Lord. And so you can appreciate these different elements. So you came on a cruise, you came on vacation, but what is that setting up in the vast continuity of your own family and your own life? And maybe you haven't dwelled on that. Like maybe you haven't spent time with that.
Yeah.
It's a great place to start.
That's really good.
And think about how that's going to, it's for you, yes, but it could be the thing that somebody else remembers in the future. And could have this healing effect.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So, that's
that was a little off to the rails, and somebody's going to be like, that bad bunny. But
that's it.
He was a good bunny for a brief moment last night, right?
That's so good. I'll wrap up with a prayer. And tomorrow I'm going to leave more time for you all to engage as well.
Sorry, but talk too much.
No, I'm world's biggest talker. Like, my dad and I had to invent a signal to tell each other, like, stop talking. Because we both talk way too. He talks more than me, somehow. But come back to, we're going to be here at 11 o'clock every day. There's great programming all throughout here at Ave Lounge. Come, bring your phones, bring your Bibles, bring your friends, and we're going to continue to go. Because I mean, I've read this 100 times, but it's like, when we read this, we're chewing on God's word, and we're empowered in Christ, right? We're like, I feel like I can go, like, take on the world because I'm like, look at what God is saying about me. Look at what God's saying about Katie. Look at what God, and we bring these different things together. And so as you go, I have a challenge for you, okay? Can you do the challenge? You need to commit to it before you know what it is, right? So as you go around on this boat, and for anybody who is listening now, as you go throughout your day, if you're listening to this later, that to go and remember, and if you're in an elevator and someone starts talking to you and they're like, how are you? I want you to be like, I'm chosen. I'm destined. I'm destined in love. I'm adopted, all this kind of stuff. And to actually think that about yourself, to go and think, I'm chosen, I'm destined, I'm blessed in Christ, I'm forgiven, I'm redeemed, and say that to yourself throughout the day. When you greet people, when you talk to the staff, tell them you're chosen. You're blessed. Truly, it sounds you're like, they're like, I didn't commit to this challenge. There's no way I'm doing that. But do it when I see you in the elevator. All right? You commit? All right. So let's just pray really quick in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you. I thank you for bringing each person here. I thank you for bringing Katie with me and her insights in the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for God's word. We thank you that you've chosen us, Father. We thank you that you've sent your Son to redeem us. And Holy Spirit, I ask that as we leave this place, as you go, we go throughout our day, that you would empower us and you would lavish your love on us, that we would see you and that we would know you and we would experience you in a more intimate way. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. God bless.
That was Katie McGrady from the Katie McGrady Show on SiriusXM. She joined us for the amazing conversation on Ephesians. And friends, we're going to keep having some guests from that time on the Good News Cruise, where we're going to continue over the next couple of months to share these interviews. These interviews where we got to talk about God's Word and got to talk about the book of Ephesians. So keep your eye out for these interviews on Burning Hearts that are going to come in the next few months.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.